As you know, in the lectionary, we have three different cycles, A, B, and C, and each has their own gospel. This year we're in year A, so we're with the Gospel of Matthew. But interestingly, cycle A is the oldest original readings for Lent, and it follows closely the journey of the catechumens to the Easter sacraments. And so originally, in the early centuries, there was only 1 week of preparation for Easter, and that is what we could now call Holy Week. And then by the 4th century, when the catechumenate began, they stretched that out and made it 3 weeks. And so then they developed these three gospels from the Gospel of John, three passages that have specifically to do with the catechumens, but therefore all of us by association. And the first one is the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, and it's about the catechumens' thirst for salvation, their thirst for Christ, and Christ's thirst for their faith. The second one is the story of the man born blind, and that's about our blindness without faith, that we're searching for sight, for the vision of glory. And then the third one is the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and that shows how the catechumens and we by association are dead in our sin. And then we need to be risen, then we need to be resurrected out of our sin, which is salvation. And so we're going to be having those on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th Sundays of Lent this year. And it's wonderful going through those. The meaning is just almost endless. So every year, the first Sunday is always about the temptation in the desert. And there's something about the desert that has to do with our salvation. And of course, you can't think of the desert without thinking of at least two things. One is the 40 years in the desert that the Israelites went through on their way to the Promised Land, where they were formed by God and became God's people. And then secondly, Jesus, on behalf of all humanity, in his humanness, goes out to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. So 40 looms large in both of those stories. And Elijah goes out into the desert to kind of regroup, to get back to the source of the ministry that he seems to have lost. And so he travels for 40 days and 40 nights through the wilderness to the mountain of God, Horeb. So this is, you know, the desert. That's where you get, that's where you find God. That's where you get formed by God. That's where you leave the distractions of the world. And you get out there where you have nothing but God, and that's a bit idealized, but that's basically what the desert is about. And then, on this first Sunday of Lent, we have that reading from St. Paul that describes the two human beings. The first human beings, Adam and Eve. Let's just say Adam, the first man, and Adam is just a word that means human being. Or man, and then you have the new human being, Christ, who is the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn from the death that was caused by that first sin, and he resurrects from it, and he's the firstborn of the new creation that lasts forever, the new creation of grace. So the contrast here between Adam and Christ. And what it's really about is a distortion about our vision of God. One of the things we learn from this is that we learn who we are by understanding who God is. And if you have a distorted vision of God, then you are going to have a distorted vision of yourself. And so Adam and Eve, they see God as against them. They see God as jealous and guarding and telling them they can't eat that one fruit because then they'll become gods themselves, and he's worried that they'll become like him. God was never that way. I mean, that's so anti-God. It just doesn't make any sense. But that's the temptation, to self-save, to be self-determining, not to trust that God is out for our good. And of course, all that reading up to that point shows a giving, gracious, loving God. He puts them there. He makes the trees grow up and be beautiful for them. He gives them all these animals. He allows them to name them. He says, the earth is yours. Rule over it, guard it, protect it. It's all for you. And then after all that, one little temptation from the serpent, and they just turn the whole, they twist the whole thing around, and they see God is against them. Okay, the new human, Christ, is the opposite of that. When at his baptism he hears the voice from above saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, he believes it. And he absolutely trusts in the love of the Father. He never doubts that. And that makes him an entirely different being from Adam. Adam, because he has a twisted vision of God, loses his own identity. They have to sew fig leaves together because now they have shame where they had never had shame before. They hide from God. And God asks them, why are you hiding? Because they're ashamed. Jesus knows no shame because he only knows the love of the Father. And so sonship, childhood, is his identity. You see, forever in the Trinity, he knew how to be son. He knew how to be child, trusting, absolutely faithful child, confident, infinitely confident in the Father's love. And so Jesus, the man, the human being, the incarnation of that eternal Son, he knows in a human way how to be Son. He trusts in the Father's love. He knows how to be a child of God. And in his teaching of his disciples, he's always saying to them, you are children of God, heirs of the kingdom. Recognize your childhood. Trust in your childhood. Trust in a loving God. But even after 2,000 years, we still have this twisted, don't we? You know, parents tell their children, if you're not good, God will punish you. Where does that come from? It just makes them behave so it works, you know. And the church says to members in the church, you know, God will get you if you don't do the right things. And learning right from wrong. And, you know, in a human way, some of these things are necessary. But we have to be careful that we don't twist the image of God, which then twists our image of ourselves. One of the biggest problems that humanity always has, this side of the kingdom, is we are fearful. We are guarded. We don't think highly enough of ourselves. We're ashamed. We're jealous of what other people have or what they are. It's hard for us to understand that God loves everyone completely. And there's no division in God. It's all unity. And if we could just trust in that, we probably would be a lot better off even now. Part of it is what we eat. Now, that sounds strange. But in the garden, the sin is Adam and Eve eat this notion of anti-God, this twisted vision of God, and they eat it. And they, You know, the old saying, you are what you eat. And they eat the wrong thing, and everything is wrong from then on. So what does Jesus do at the Last Supper? He gives us the right thing to eat so that we become what we eat. And we're going to eat that and drink that in a few minutes. It comes from this altar. Jesus, he is the eternal Son, the one who shows us how to live as children of God. But it's not just a head thing where we imitate him and we determine that we're going to do that and do the right things and all that kind of stuff. It all kind of involves that. But ultimately, it's about eating him. It's about becoming him. Again, St. Paul in that second reading says, through him we become the very righteousness of God. And righteousness has to do with right relationship with God, having this thing not all twisted like Adam and Eve, but in lined up correctly like Christ. And so we eat that and we drink that. We become that. We become what we eat and drink, because our salvation is not in determinedly doing the right things, but it's in becoming his body, joining ourselves to him, and becoming children through him, the only true Son of God who invites us all into him so that we become children of God as well.